All right, so that's the latest on action Massachusetts plans to take in federal court. But let's jump to what's happening in the Department of Justice itself. Last night, President Donald Trump fired Acting Attorney General Sally Yates, saying she, quote, betrayed the DOJ when she wrote a letter to Justice Department lawyers saying that she is not convinced that Trump's executive order on immigration is lawful. Well, today, reporters asked White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer what Yates' dismissal indicates about Trump's relationship with the DOJ. Here's how Spicer responded.
That is a position of leadership that is given to somebody who is supposed to execute orders that are handed down to them properly, of which that executive order was 100% done. Ironically, it went through their offices, the Department of Justice Office of Legal Compliance. So the idea that it went through the entire process of which they were part of, and then she chooses not to execute it, actually is bewildering as well as defiant.
Well, that's the view from White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer. But what is the actual duty of the Attorney General in moments where she or he disagrees with the president? AGs are appointed by the president, but whom do they ultimately serve? Joining us now with her perspective is former U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, Carmen Ortiz. She joins us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you just heard that tape from Sean Spicer saying that Sally Yates was behaving in a defiant way. Do you agree or disagree?
I wouldn't classify what her conduct and what she did in that fashion. I think that she was following her conscience. I think that as Attorney General, she has a constitutional duty to enforce as well as to defend the law. But in this case where she had directed department attorneys not to enforce this executive order, not to defend this banning, she indicated that her decision was based on two premises. One is that she did not think that the executive order was in line with what the department stands for, which is doing the right thing and seeking justice. And secondly, that she was not convinced that this executive order was legal. Mm-hmm. And perhaps give it time to play out.
So I'm curious, how usual is it for an attorney general or acting attorney general to make this kind of directive to lawyers in the DOJ, to go so far as to say, you know, if in your jurisdictions this comes up for a legal challenge, don't defend it?
It's unusual. It's a rare circumstance. I do recall that a position that the department had to take was to defend a statute that was negating certain rights to the gay and lesbian community under Attorney General Eric Holder. Mm-hmm. We defended that statute initially at the request of Congress, and as it was going through the appellate process, Attorney General Holder stepped back and told Congress and the department lawyers, we're not going to defend this course of action, that it violates the equal protection
right.
of the individuals involved.
In that case, Attorney General Holder's view was very much in line with President Obama's.
That's
though,
correct.
Right? So here's
That's
the,
right.
this is the opposite case, though, where Sally Yates was, her opinion was obviously diametrically opposed from President Trump's opinion on the legality of his own executive order. Do you think that writing a letter, issuing a directive to DOJ lawyers was the right way to go? Or is it more usual in Washington for the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, to go to the president himself and say, you're going to face challenges on this. Here's how I advise you.
I think typically that's what would happen. There would be the discussion as to what this law is, what the executive order, quite frankly, and what policies it sets about, what the intended consequences, actual consequences may be, and so forth. But it seemed that everything happened here so quickly, and that the department, and I don't know what the specifics were in terms of the protocol and the process that was pursued, but it appears that a lot of folks that were responsible for implementing it were sort of caught off guard. Mm-hmm. And that's why you had the confusion and the situation over the weekend and so forth. But here, I think that, you know, the Attorney General does serve at the pleasure of the president. And so he was within his own right to take that step if he...
To fire her?
To fire her, to remove her, if he felt that she was not following in that respect. However, I will say this, that you cannot force an attorney general to do something that they think that is wrong and inappropriate. And in this case, quite frankly, when they... when they fired her, when the president fired her and said that she had betrayed the department by refusing to enforce a legal order that was designed to protect the citizens of these United States, therein lies a tremendous amount of irony, because the way that this ban is actually taking effect, many experts, especially in the terrorism arena, would differ from that. Mm. That, in fact, the opposite happens when you have this kind of a broad ban that appears to target a particular group of people to restrict or violate their freedom of expression and religion. And quite frankly, that the effects, and I know because as U.S. attorney, we did a lot of outreach. We did a lot of work on preventing violent extremism. And so what you don't want to do is take steps that are going to alienate and further remove a group of individuals so they don't feel like they're part
right.
of the country and really being considered.
Yeah. So, I mean, Carmen Ortiz, you said so many interesting things there. First of all, you said the attorney general serves at the pleasure of the president. True. I mean, they're appointed. I mean, Sally Yates was appointed as deputy AG under the Obama administration, serving here in the interim while Jeff Sessions awaits a vote on his Senator Jeff Sessions awaits a vote on his nomination to attorney general. But so given that, though, ultimately, to whom, what person, what body is the Department of Justice accountable to? To the president? To the people? Whom?
It's accountable to the people in its way. And it has the duty to constitutionally follow the law. And so if an attorney general was forced to take actions that they did not want to take, obviously they could resign. They could refuse to do it and be subjected to ramifications by their boss. You have to understand that while traditionally, and there's a strive for a department to be independent from the president, the attorney general is also a cabinet member
right.
of the president, really, and selected to advise the president on legal matters and policy matters. But the White House has its own set of lawyers within its own institution in terms of the White House counsel to get certain advice and guidance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the attorney general, you know, at the end of the day, they're bound to follow the rule of law. And
yeah.
I think that based on the remarks that she made in terms of what the department stands for, questioning whether this executive order is actually legal or not or may not be, there was a basis for the decisions that she made. And let me say this, because I did work with Sally for so many years. She is a career prosecutor, very experienced, very dedicated.
She was a U.S. attorney for a long time in Georgia?
In Atlanta, Georgia. That's
yeah.
right, in the Northern District of Georgia. And she's been with the Department of Justice for almost three decades, since 1989. And I had the pleasure of working with her as we were both the U.S. attorneys and on the Attorney General's Advisory Council. I think she is someone of character, someone of real leadership, and someone who tries to do the right thing. And I think that's what occurred here.
So you think this is in line with the Sally Yates that you know?
Absolutely.
There are some people who are saying, though, that even with that she should have resigned instead, rather than taking the, as you know, we're discussing here, extraordinary step of issuing a directive to DOJ lawyers to not defend the president's executive order.
Well, you have to understand, and I don't know what the specific thinkings were. I haven't spoken to her or others involved in that inner situation, but things were happening very quickly. We just had lawsuits filed, and other lawsuits that I understand are being filed around the country, and department lawyers through the U.S. Attorney's offices have to go into court mm-hmm. and defend those statutes. I'm sure the field was asking for guidance. How should we handle this,
yeah.
these matters? How should we respond? What legal arguments should we be making?
So, you know, Carmen Ortiz, in the past week or so, there's been a lot of discussion about sort of the internal mechanisms that various departments in the federal government have for hearing dissent within organizations. Like, you know, you've heard of the State Department's the dissent channel, where people can write letters saying they have a different opinion from the official one of the State Department. Just tell me briefly, in the Department of Justice, is there a way to communicate dissent within the DOJ that's not as public or jarring as what Sally Yates did?
Well, I think that I mean, you talk to one another. And I'm sure that this decision that Sally made was not an easy one. And I'm sure that it was not one that was just primarily based on herself. It's like I've always indicated I don't make decisions in a vacuum. You listen to those that are part of your leadership team. And sometimes everyone agrees. A lot of times they don't. You listen to various opinions, perspectives, recommendations, and suggestions. And then at the end of the day, as the leader, you are the one that, that you know, makes the decision. But I think that you definitely don't do it in a vacuum.
Two more quick questions for you. And I really appreciate your time here today. I was looking at some coverage from the New York Times, obviously, on this story. And they quoted Matthew Miller, a former spokesman for the DOJ during the Obama administration. He's concerned that Yates' firing could have troubling consequences within the DOJ. Matt Miller said, quote, "It's a major violation of the Justice Department's traditional independence that will send chills down the spine of everyone there." Is that an overreaction, or do you agree?
I think there could be some of that, for sure, because I think folks may have a great difficulty based on their experiences, based on their knowledge in terms of this particular executive order, and perhaps others that may come down in the future.
Now, Sally Yates said she is not convinced in this letter that triggered her firing, this letter to DOJ attorneys. She said, quote, at present, I am not convinced that the defense of the executive order is consistent with these responsibilities, nor am I convinced that the executive order is lawful. And I'm going to put you on the spot here a little, Carmen Ortiz, but do you agree with her? Do you think the president's executive orders are unlawful?
I think the way that it's being interpreted and actually carried out, where a particular group of individuals are being targeted, so that there's a degree they're being discriminated against in action as a result, as a consequence, and also that their freedom of religion and right to express religion may be violated. I think that it could be found unconstitutional. A court will decide that eventually, but I would have difficulty defending this executive order in the way that it is written. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be vetting individuals and be doing everything that we can to make sure that the folks that are coming here from overseas, from all countries, really are not a danger, that are not going to harm anyone in America. So I think that while the intent may be certainly legitimate to do everything we can to keep our country safe, how we accomplish that really has to be more well thought of. This is a broad brush, and quite frankly, it could create a greater degree of harm than good.
Well, Carmen Ortiz served as U.S. Attorney for the District of Massachusetts from November 2009 to just January of this year. Carmen Ortiz, pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.